The caption of today's presentation is getting it right at the start. Getting it right at the start. I invite you to read with me the scripture reading. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5, and we'll read from the New International Version this time. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. Let's read it together. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless the presentation as well as reception of your words and glorify your name through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. For I resolve to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. One of the characteristics of being human is the ability to make resolutions, decisions. A resolution is a pledge to do something that is not being done, or to do something better that is already being done. It appears to me as if we never get anything done until a resolution is made. Because of this, human beings make resolutions at different levels. One can think of resolutions being made by bodies such as the United Nations, the Parliament of a Nation, the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and so on and so forth. And I must remind you that we are in the period, that time of the year, when resolutions are still being made, are being implemented. And I want to think that the youth choir made a resolution to come early for first service. Ella Murray, am I right? The practice of making a pledge to pursue a particular course is not peculiar to the people of the modern and postmodern eras. People have been making resolutions from antiquity. Let us consider the resolution of Paul. And Paul was probably the most outstanding evangelist and missionary of the first century. Listen to Paul's resolution. Paul said, "For I resolve to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This statement was made in retrospect at the beginning of Paul's ministry in the city of Corinth. And now Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he was telling them the secret of his success. He was sharing the secret of his passion and survival with them. What was the secret? The secret was the resolution he had made. "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That resolution was born out of an experience. Prior to his arrival in Corinth, Paul had visited several cities and had preached the gospel in them. In one city, Thessalonica, receptiveness of a large number of people to Paul's proclamation of Christ excited the anger of the Jews. They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace and formed a mob with the intent of doing Paul grievous bodily harm. He was preserved and no harm was done to him. Under the cover of night, along with Silas, they were whisked off to a place called Berea. There they proclaimed the gospel. The reception was even more favorable than that in Thessalonica. We are told in Acts chapter 17, verse 13, that when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. In view of the threat that was posed to his life, he was whisked off to Athens, where he would be later joined by Silas and Timothy. All Paul was to do in Athens was to keep quiet. Are you with me? All he was to do was to keep quiet. But keeping quiet is an impossibility for the servant of God when he sees others going astray. Paul just could not keep quiet. In Athens, Paul was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Acts 17, verse 16. So what did he do? He spoke of the impunity and utter uselessness of idols. He spoke of a God who was alive, who was active, and who was available, who holds all human beings accountable, and who had made himself manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, who was crucified, but who had risen from the dead. His witness did not go without notice. He eventually got the attention of the intellectual community, the intelligentsia, and so he was summoned to the lecture theater on Mars Hill to defend his seemingly preposterous thesis. They asked, Acts chapter 17, verse 20, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. So Paul went. He took his stance in that assembly which was divided by opposing philosophies, and he gave an erudite and eloquent presentation on the principles of the Christian faith. How long he spoke, we cannot tell, but we know that he had the undivided attention of everyone. Just imagine that brilliant scholar of Gamaliel, a doctor in the law, and an advocate of the world's youngest religion at the time. Just imagine him as he waxed intellectual. Ellen White, writing about that clash of religious beliefs on Mars Hill, indicates that Paul met philosophy with philosophy, logic with logic, and science with science. What was the result of this? Acts 17, 32 to 34 tells us, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Don't lose me now. I'm telling you that Paul made his resolution not to know anything among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified based on an experience. It is this experience that I'm narrating to you. Paul preached in Athens, and we have seen the response. It says that some sneered, others said, we want to hear more. He left the council. a few became followers of Paul and believed, and two names are given. Now, there's no record of any general hostility towards Paul or the gospel in Athens. Neither is there any record of a wholesale conversion to Christ, as occurred in Thessalonica and Berea. At best, Paul was a tame preacher with his logic, with his philosophy, and with his science. He did not ruffle any feather. He made the mistake of attempting to establish Christianity through intellectualism and not through Christ. The sacred historian notes that at the end of the deliberations, a few men became followers of Paul. Note, not followers of Christ, but of Paul. And he never got a chance to return to Mars Hill, because shortly thereafter, he left for Corinth. It was a review of the encounter in Athens that prompted Paul to make the resolutions that he would operate differently in Corinth. Brothers and sisters, the failures of the past may either serve to intimidate or educate us. Fortunately for Paul, he was educated by his failure in Athens. He was able to reinvent himself and to retool his modus operandi. He resolved that he would know nothing else among the Christians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that was his resolution. I resolve not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, what does this statement mean? Is Paul saying that he would not concern himself with the varied problems that affected the lives of the believers and the people he hoped would be converted? Is he saying that their needs would not matter to him? I don't think so. Paul was saying that his ministry in Corinth would be a Christ-driven ministry. That is what he was saying. Not a ministry driven by intellectualism. And it doesn't mean that there's no place for intellectualism and intelligence and logic and science and philosophy. It doesn't mean that. What Paul was saying is that he would subject philosophy, logic, science, intellectualism to the power of Christ. That is what he was saying. His ministry would be a Christ-driven ministry. He was placing Jesus in his proper place first. Paul's passion was to know Christ and to make him known. And I say to you today, my first message for the new year, that this must be our passion. The only way that we can have a people-driven ministry is to have a Christ-driven ministry. And we must resolve to know Jesus and to make him known. Paul was not contented with merely making the person of Christ known. He was satisfied with saying, oh, there is a man by the name of Jesus. He was satisfied with that. A person has no meaning outside of his or her activities, even if you know the person's name. So somebody comes to my, a name comes to my mind instantly, Rasputin. Rasputin, that's a name. Well, what do you know about Rasputin? Some of you have an idea. But a name is meaningless outside of the activities that are associated with the name. It is our activities. It is your activities which give you meaning and relevance. And Paul was not just satisfied with saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That was not enough. Paul made sure that he did not separate Jesus from the events of his life, particularly the culminating events. In order to achieve this. He spoke of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Don't miss that. For I resolved not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, a person, and him crucified. His activities. Are you with me? Brothers and sisters, the death of Jesus Christ by crucifixion was the event above any other that gave his life significance, value, and worth. And I'm telling you that this was a radical departure from the process used to affix value to human beings in the first century. Crucifixion did not add value to people. It subtracted value. It is only the worst who were crucified. But Jesus redefined the event of crucifixion. He made the gateway to eternal life. And by saying, I resolve to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, Paul was saying that Jesus was a reverser of trends. Even a bad trend in your life, a bad trend in the life of a nation, an organization, Jesus has the power to reverse that. See a bad trend in the office of the Services Commission? Jesus Christ has the power to reverse that. In calling attention to the cross, Paul was declaring that salvation was paramount. It's the most important thing. It's the most important event in the universe, the salvation of human beings. And the cross made salvation available to human beings. Brothers and sisters, there was no salvation independent of the crucified Christ. We are told that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Paul resolved then, at the start of his ministry in Corinth, that Christ would be primary. He admits that his assignment had given him a sense of trepidation. He said that he had experienced weakness, fear, and trembling. But it was the presence of these negating factors that fashioned his resolution. Are you with me still? He said, I come to you, I am weak, I am fearful, I am in trembling. And when he recognized that, he said, I resolve that I will know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. When we recognize our human weaknesses, our fears, which we studied about this week, and our trembling, then we can make a similar resolution. Whenever the desire to know and make Christ known becomes a driving force in our lives and our ministries, weakness, fear, and trembling lose their inhibiting properties. Are you with me still? Praise the Lord. So then, shall we begin this new year with weakness? No, not with weakness, but with strength. Shall we begin this new year with fear? No, not with fear, but with faith. Shall we begin this new year with trembling? No, not with trembling, but with trust, with praying. We must get it right at the start. That's the caption of the message. We must get it right. Not with fear, not with trembling, not with, what's the other one? With weakness, but with faith. By resolving that we'll not know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Like Paul, we should resolve that nothing, or rather no one else, will be known among us except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Whenever problems arise, as they surely will, let us view them in the light of this resolution. No matter what the problem is, I resolve that I will know nothing except Jesus Christ. Whenever you are tempted to disengage from active service in the church or in the nation, view that in the light of this resolution. Bustamante once said, you should never resign in a huff and in a hurry. Whenever you are tempted to give up, to throw in the towel, review that in the light of your resolution. Whenever you are tempted to be skeptical, concerned in the future, just look to the cross. The cross provides solution to problems. It invites our participation and it gives hope for the future. I resolve that I will know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As we proceed into the new year today, I charge you, brothers and sisters, to resolve to make Jesus Christ and His work primary. I charge you to make a resolution to love, respect, listen to, and serve each other to the best of our abilities. I charge you to resolve to pursue a path of continual self-improvement so the quality of our service that we offer to our nation, our church, our family will be enriched. I call upon you today to rally around the standard of the cross. I call upon you to be united in your love of Christ and for each other. I call upon you to recommit yourselves to the principle of Christian living. I call upon you further to labor extensively for the salvation of our fellow human beings so that Jamaica can become a better place, that our families can be better, that our church can be better. I call upon the children, the youths and the adults to allow the fullness of Christ to be manifested in you. Are not these noble objectives that we should resolve to achieve? What do you say to that? Yes, I believe they are. And when our primary resolution is to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, everything else will fall into place. So, like Paul, I say to you, for I resolve, maybe we should say it together, for we resolve, let's say it together, for we resolve to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May God give us the strength to make our resolution a reality. God bless you.